Divine Mercy Sunday. A few weeks ago in the Gospel, we had the story of the man who was born blind. And the Jews asked Jesus a very interesting question. They said, was it because of his sin or the sins of his parents that he was born this way? And I'm sure that Jesus had a funny look in his face and I even wanted to ask, why are you even thinking about that? It has nothing to do with his sin or anybody else's. It was so that the glory of God could come through. We might have been told that, maybe we believe that if we do something bad, then something bad is going to happen to us, and sometimes we think it's going to be coming from the hand of God. I know as a kid, most of us might have been told at one point or another, if we did something bad, the devil was going to pull our toes at night. And so we get kind of frightened of those things. Well, we do know this, that God is good, that God is merciful, that God is love. So there is such a thing as divine justice that goes along with divine mercy. But where does divine justice come from? I think we all know and understand, or should anyway, that evil carries with it its own punishment. That good begets good, evil begets evil. Some religions will even call that karma, if you would. But that's exactly what happens. That God created us in his own image and likeness. It is in the image and likeness of love and of holiness, and wants us to be like him. To love, to be holy, to forgive. He also realizes that we as human beings had our choice. We have a free will, and we chose to go against him. So we'll look at it this way, kind of an analogy. If you are inside a well-lit room, the light's there, you know where things are, you can find yourself. You're not going to stumble and fall, nothing's going to happen. But if you on your own decide to leave that room and go out into the darkness and things happen, whose fault is that? It's our own because we chose to leave the light and go into the darkness. Well, same with Christ. We choose to abandon God, go into the darkness and do our own thing, and bad things happen. But we come back to God. And we see that God puts everything back in order again. His mercy is good. But evil will always beget evil. Which is why time and again in the scriptures we're told to repent. That is, to turn away from evil and to do good, to seek what's holy, what's righteous, what's of God, and to become like God. If we do that, if we turn our faces back to Christ, he brings us back where he wants us to be. Today, or this morning, at St. Peter's in Rome, Pope Francis canonized two of his predecessors, Pope John the 23rd and Pope John Paul II, now known to the church and to the world as Pope St. John the 23rd and Pope St. John Paul II. When a priest becomes a bishop or a bishop becomes a pope, they establish what's called a motto. You've seen that before. A little saying that kind of shows the direction that they want their episcopacy or their priesthood to go. John the 23rd's was obedience and peace. John Paul II's was totally yours. When John Paul said that, he was thinking of entrusting his entire priesthood, his entire pontificate, in the hands of Jesus through the hands of Mary. John likewise realized that our life in Christ brings grace and peace by obedience and peace. Let's put those two things together. What is Jesus asking of us? Obviously, it's obedience. Obedience to God our Father, obedience to the gospel. As Jesus said, love the Lord your God entirely, your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Forgive one another. Do good for one another. Our whole life is meant to be an imitation of his, to be like Christ. And as St. Augustine put it, peace is the tranquility that comes from order. When we put all things in proper order, putting God, then others, and putting ourselves last, and always seeking to do the good, then we find that we're going to be at peace. Peace in the world begins with peace in each and every individual, only with us. So if we know that we are sinners, and we are, and we ask God's mercy, we are guaranteed to receive it. If we repent of our sins, we find that we replace evil with good, and we are at peace. Our consciences are at rest. Our hearts are at rest, resting in God. And as Augustine also says, our hearts are restless until they rest in him. Peace that comes through obedience. The very first words of Mary to the disciples of Jesus at the wedding of Cana were, do whatever he tells you. And so for us to say that we are totally Christ's, if we are with Mary, then we want to give ourselves completely as she did to the will of God, to do whatever he tells us, to follow his will. If we are totally Christ's, then we will willingly obey him, and in our obedience we have peace. And that's really the whole story of divine mercy. Do we deserve God's forgiveness? No. Do we deserve his mercy? Of course not. But God is good, and he freely gives to all those who ask. John the Baptist kept saying that, repent and believe. Prepare the way of the Lord. Jesus tells us the same thing, to follow him who is the way, the truth, and the life, the resurrection and the life. The scripture is very clear that God did not make death, and he does not rejoice in the destruction of the living. He fashioned us to have life and heaven in its fullness, and it can only come through his mercy and his grace. So much so that as we read in the gospel, the night of the resurrection, Jesus appears to the apostles and he says to them, peace be with you. He shows them his wounds. He again says, peace be with you. And then he gives them the Holy Spirit, saying, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained. Now, I'm going to just raise up a couple of objections that people have to the sacrament of confession or reconciliation. First of all, many other Christians will say, you don't need to go to confession. You don't need to do any of that because when Jesus died on the cross, your sins were forgiven. All we have to do is accept the cross, and instantaneously we have been, quote unquote, saved. If that's true, then why did Jesus, after Calvary, this is the night of the resurrection, the first Easter Sunday, have to appear to the apostles and tell them, whose sins you forgive are forgiven? Here you have the Son of God giving to human beings the power to forgive sin. Why? Because he knows that we're weak. We have been wounded by original sin. We have a propensity to sin. We're going to do that. We're going to be tempted and we're going to give in. But Christ wants to give us every chance possible to leave that behind and come back to him. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Secondly, why does the resurrected Jesus, he's alive, he was dead, he was buried, now he's alive again, the tomb is empty, he's appearing to the apostles, but he still has the wounds of the cross in his hands, his feet, and his side? This makes it obvious that the sacrifice of Jesus is transfixed in time. That means that he continues to offer himself as a sacrifice to God the Father for you and for me. He continues to pour out grace upon grace, healing upon healing, through those five glorious wounds. They don't bleed anymore, but they're still there. But he does that, offering himself for us who are still sinners. So the objection of people going to confession doesn't hold any weight. It's a gift that Christ offered. But I look at it this way in an analogy, and I've used it before, but just to refresh your memories. People will often say, I don't go to confession because I don't need to confess my sins to a man. I can confess my sins directly to God and God's going to forgive me. There's a lot of truth in that. But God also wants to use the sacrament of confession. But let's look at another profession. It'd be the same thing as a person saying, I don't need to go to a man to tell me what kind of a sickness I have and to give me medication. I don't need to go to a doctor. I can simply go to God and pray and God's going to heal me. And he certainly can. But why does God choose certain people to be doctors and physicians and gives them the talent and the gift to be able to heal the body? It's for our own physical good. For the same reason God gives us the sacrament of confession, for our spiritual good. And the priest, like a doctor, is educated in the spiritual things to help a person see why we do the things that we do and how it is that we can, with the grace of God, stop it and live in the fullness of grace. But I will say this. I know lots of people who refuse to go to a doctor because they simply don't want to hear the bad news, so they might have something very serious. In other words, they're trying to avoid reality. I would argue that many people avoid confession for the same reason, because we don't like to admit that we're wrong. We don't like to admit that we're sinners. We don't like to admit that we need God's grace. But the fact is, we do. We cannot avoid reality. Left to ourselves, we're capable of nothing but death and destruction. Human history shows that. But with Christ, all things are possible. That we can become a new creation, a new being, to become sons and daughters of God in a very real and everlasting sense. To be like Christ. And that's the joy of the resurrection. One final thing. Priests who come here as substitutes to take my place, or priests of Sacred Heart, have always said the very same thing. They make a very good comment about us. They say, I've never heard as many confessions as I do when I go to Villeplat. That's a good thing. That says a lot about us as Catholics, that we take this sacrament seriously, that we appreciate its value and make use of it, so that we can grow in holiness, that we can grow in grace. So it's a good thing. Keep that up. Brothers and sisters, today is the day that the Lord has made, and He has made it a great one, as we celebrate the mercy extended to us in Christ, who has offered His life for our salvation and brings us mercy, grace, and peace. May we always find ourselves obedient to Christ, always doing His will, and learn to love and to forgive as Christ Himself has loved and forgiven us.